Welcome back, everyone.
Yes, we're here. It's my favorite day of the week. I say it every time, but hey, it's still my favorite day
of the week. Favorite day of the week, fifth day in a row.
And look at this.
We look good.
We do look good. This is an actual thing. We finally got a background.
Yeah, we're making moves in the world. We got microphones. We got a nice, rich mahogany table.
Yeah.
It's probably not mahogany, you know what I mean?
This is honestly probably thanks to all the listeners out there.
Yeah, listeners.
If people weren't listening, we wouldn't get all this fancy stuff to make it better.
We'd be sitting in the backyard on milk crates.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much.
Anyhow, thank you for tuning in. This is America's Diesel Podcast, brought to you by Diesel Power Products, just like the background says.
Just like what it says.
So when I mess it up, you can look at the background and know what we're talking about. Yeah. Well, thank you for tuning in. Make sure and check us out on Google Play, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review, screenshot that, send it to Tyler@DieselPowerProducts.com.
Yes.
And what are we going to do?
We're going to get you a awesome dank meme and a custom handwritten letter by us two right here that is promised to make some upper butt crack sweat, guaranteed.
These are the facts, folks.
Facts. Facts don't care about your feelings.
Beat me to it.
Yeah.
Today,
what are we talking about today? What
do
we
today got we're talking about maintenance. Not your high maintenance 20-year-old girlfriend.
No.
Or your high maintenance on your 20-year-old truck.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because that's seriously a thing. I mean, right now, finally, winter is... Finally, it's over, I think. And, you know, winter can play hell on your truck. I know mine kind of suffered a little bit. No, it just kind of brings out the worst. It brings out the things that are going to fail. It's probably going to fail. Cold weather. It just will bring out the worst.
It's hard.
Especially like on older trucks. Like for instance, my Suburban 6.2. It started running into an issue with the injector return lines. Mm. They're rubber. They're old. And what happens when rubber gets cold and old? It gets cracky. Yeah. And I just had some injector return lines cracking. And, you know, those are things that I kind of would consider a maintenance item because it's something that you want to change usually after, you know, every so often. I mean, when you have rubber that's subjected to heat and cold, heat and cold, heat and cold, it's probably going to end up cracking once in a while. So stuff like that. Diff fluids, I mean, that kind of stuff. We're going to get into it deep here. But, winter brings out the worst.
Yeah, it absolutely does. It's hard on stuff. On the other side of that, heat.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you start taking your truck out instead of driving minimally, like maybe in the winter, summertime, you start going on road trips, you start stacking more miles on it.
Yeah.
Maybe you're, you know, a 10 or 15 mile commute into work. Now you're starting to drive a couple hundred miles on the weekends.
Yeah.
Start to spend, you know, time at 80 miles an hour, 70, 80 miles an hour right there. You start realizing,
your boat out.
Yeah. Busting the boat out. Wheel bearings.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say it again, folks. Wheel bearings.
Yeah. Check your trailers.
Yeah. Never fails.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's kind of what we're going to kind of go over, just some of the, I mean, we would hope that a lot of these are kind of basics, maybe some things that you don't think about. Mm-hmm. We're going to touch on what you should kind of do after, well, either beginning of winter going into winter or end of winter going into summer.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just things you want to kind of get your truck ready for. So it's ready to take you where you need to go and not leave you stranded with your wife and kids and all your cool, fun stuff that you can't play with on the side of the road.
Exactly. Unless you got the balls.
Yeah. Or if like you're in Idaho and you got like a side by side, like, hey, we'll just drive that.
Yeah. For me, as far as maintenance goes, I usually try and handle like my wife's car, well, her car and my stupid Suburban, which I affectionately hate. I try and do it like
same
beginning
time of
summer and then right before winter starts.
Yeah.
So maybe beginning of summer because it's pretty much kind of falls just about right there, but it gives me a chance to really, you know, like, okay, it's going to get cold. Let me make sure all this stuff is good. Okay. It's going to get hot. You know, make sure you get tires looking good, brakes looking good, coolant's looking good, all kind of good stuff. But that's just, I mean, everybody do your own thing. Obviously just make sure you do it.
Yeah.
That's going to be the main gist of here. Like you neglect your truck will neglect you.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. That speaking of oil changes, like how often do you your oil changes? I know you run Schaefer's and pretty much everything.
I
throw Schaefer's and pretty much everything I can. So like, what is your usual interval?
So I went kind of two ways, and there's folks here that still probably run regular oil in their diesels or whatnot. So as far as me, with my 7.3, good old Huey injection.
Mm-hmm.
I was always taught, you know, always just hammered in, change your oil on time, every time, or early.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the old adage, you know, 3 months, 3,000 miles,
yeah.
You know, gas engines and whatnot. For diesels, a little bit more oil on them. Sometimes they go a little bit further. Most people are probably along the lines of like 5,000 miles.
Yeah.
For me, when I was running just Rotella, and because I didn't have quite have the money for, you know, Schaefer's oil.
Right.
But looking back, I would have saved money doing Schaefer's oil. But I was running Rotella and I was using my truck for work. So I was beating the crap out of it all the time, especially in the summer, super hot. So I would run it to about 3,000 miles and I'd check it. And as long as the level was good, I basically would be like, okay, the next time I have downtime, I'll change the oil.
Yeah.
It was never like, oh my God, 5,000, I have to change it. It was more like I hit 3,000, level's good. Okay, I got a weekend off in like, you know, 3 weeks. I'll do it then or something like that.
Yeah.
But I would habitually just make sure I never even got to 3,000 or 5,000 miles on it.
See, yeah, that's especially on Huey injection. I would think, I mean, like I tell customers all the time, that oil is subjected to so much abuse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, so doing it early or at least 3 to 5 on those. And the reason why I bring it up is because all these new trucks nowadays, it's like darn near 10,000 miles on an oil change.
It's terrifying.
It is terrifying. Like, I remember when I got my EcoDiesel, the first brand new truck I ever bought. And I'm like looking at like the service intervals and basically like, yeah, just do it when the thing tells you to. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, is it broken?
I click 3,000, nothing. Click 5,000, nothing. I'm like, okay, when is the oil change? Like, this is crazy. It's like 9,800 miles or something, whatever it is. I'm like, holy moly. Same thing with my wife's. Got her a 19 Cherokee with a little 2 liter gas engine.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. That oil change. It's crazy how long they push it off to. But hey, I mean, if that's what the factory wants, I guess that's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So it doesn't hurt to do it earlier. I mean, if you've got the funds to do it earlier. You're just going to, I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just going to, I mean, obviously, if you drive it a lot, you're going to be doing more oil changes than, you know, versus one every 10,000 miles.
Yeah. So. And even back on the oil change stuff. So when I was a wee young lad, I was working at a GM dealership. And when I first started working there, I was a lube tech.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did oil changes all day, every day. They had a separate little two bay area for oil changes, fuel filters, tire rotations, really basic maintenance. And it was me and one other guy. We'd crank stuff out super fast,
mm-hmm.
whether it was, you know, ZR1 Corvettes, Duramaxes, pickup trucks, older Chevys, anything. They bring it in and we just hammer it out super fast.
Yeah.
And there were people, and you could tell the folks that were putting lots of miles on their cars or trucks that actually gave a crap about their oil changes.
Yeah.
There was a guy with like when the Blazers first went to like the S10 style Blazers,
mm-hmm.
it's like an early, I say like late 80s or something like that.
Yeah.
With like a 4.3 in it. And he had like 500K on this thing. And the oil always came out clean.
Yeah.
I had to replace the driver's seat for the guy eventually.
Oh, seriously? Because
he was so sacked out. Yeah.
Wow.
And it was his thing. He lived in the Bay Area and worked up in Reno.
Mm-hmm.
So he literally drove from the Bay Area to Reno every morning, came back every night. If you don't know how much that is, it's a 4-hour drive. It's like 200 and something odd miles, but up through a mountain range and over on the other side into Nevada. Like, you're driving clear across the state.
Not to mention the heat in the summertime and whatnot.
And the cold. So he's literally going from sea level all the way up to, you know, snowy conditions and back down again and through the valley when it's hot in the summer. And he just kept driving his truck. He just kept going and kept going and kept going.
Maintenance is key.
Maintenance is key, my friends.
Yeah. And if you guys haven't ever, if you haven't ever seen a vehicle that, like, they don't do the oil changes with or neglect the crap out of it. Have you ever seen
all the sludge that builds up?
Holy moly. I remember when I worked at the Dodge dealership that I worked at, I can't remember. It was like a Dodge Neon or some little Dodge car, Intrepid or whatever. I remember pulling the valve cover off that thing and it was like, I lifted it off and it felt like it was like weighted. I'm like, what the heck? And I flip it up and I'm like, oh my God, I've never seen so much sludge.
It's like just enough room for the rockers and the cam.
Yeah, like literally, that's all that was there. It was crazy. So yeah, maintenance is key, guys. When oil starts breaking down, you start losing lubricity, things start heating up, friction is increased. You don't want that. Parts start wearing out. And that's how guys get rod knocks and bearing failures and that kind of thing. It's maintenance. Mm-hmm. It is maintenance. That's the easiest thing you could do to make your engine really last longer.
And that is the lifeblood of your engine, especially. Yeah. And this is for gas and diesel guys. 7.3.
This is just engines in general, really.
Yeah. This is like good adult habits to get into.
Yeah.
So if you're maybe a little younger guy listening to this or something like that, or maybe it's time for you to start adulting with your vehicles.
Yeah.
Take the time, get the oil change. If I'm going to make one request,
yeah,
one piece of information, I'll tell you guys, you don't have to buy synthetic oil all the time. I get that. You can get blends or whatever you want, or even cheaper oil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sound like a major dick saying
that's
this.
All right.
Don't run Penn's oil.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? And that's, I kind of grew up with that too, where everybody was like, Penn's oil.
So here's, this is like almost like a full tangent episode.
Yeah, it's just oil.
Right? Oil tangent right now, but it's that important. So
yeah, it's very
Penn's oil stuff at that. So I started working at Pep Boys when I was really young too, and mm-hmm. then at GM. And the first guy that I kind of like, I wouldn't say, I sort of apprenticed under him or something like that. Yeah. It wasn't an official apprenticeship or something like that, but I was kind of like, hey, you know, I'll turn the rotors for you if you teach me stuff. I kind of
right.
Thing. Yeah, and so, you know, it worked out. And he bought me beer and stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Don't do that, kids.
Yeah. Do it.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he tore apart an engine. He's like, see this engine? He's like, yeah. And see how it's tinted? Yellow? Like, yeah. I was like, well, he's like, what's wrong with that? He goes, he's Penn's oil. I guarantee you that he's Penn's oil. I was like, okay. And it's kind of stuck with me. And then later on, it must have been like 2 or 3 years later, I'm working at a GM dealership, tore apart an engine. And I
same
was like,
thing.
Yeah, and I noticed the tinge to it. And yeah. It was kind of like the if you know one answer to one question at the right time, you yell it out, you're the genius.
Yeah.
And I was on the other side of the shop, and it was like some older journeyman. I was like, shouldn't have run Penn's oil. And he's like, how'd you know that?
He's like, you just went a notch up in his book.
Yeah, I was like, instant, like 2 weeks later, yeah. Ray's like, obviously he knows what he's talking about. I'm over there just like, just Penn's oil sucks.
Yeah. Just like, I don't know why, but.
So folks, if you work for Penn's oil,
sorry.
I'm sorry, but that's what I've seen so far. The other thing, I was like, totally lost it.
That's right.
I totally lost it. I'm sorry.
If you
don't run Penn's oil.
Yeah. Done.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's in like to me, and I know I've said this, I think I said this in a previous episode, like at my age now, like I've gotten this like satisfaction over like a well maintained like engine. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. It makes me happy.
Yeah.
So just to know that it's like, yeah, I'm taking care of that. And I know it's perfect.
You know, we're going to keep going on this oil change thing. So once I did start running Schaefer's in my 7.3s, first off, if you've gone from maybe like Rotella, maybe to a synthetic, or from like a normal oil to an actual high quality synthetic on a 7.3, if you haven't done it before, like you're in for a treat.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I notice a difference on my 24 valve with Schaefer's, and I'm not a snake oil guy. I'm not like, oh my God, this oil made my engine quieter. But everybody knows Cummins, they have, you know, there's a little clack in there. I swear, I put Schaefer's in that truck, and it was just, it had to have been 30% smoother. Had to have been. I mean, I couldn't, like I said, I'm not that kind of snake oil guy where it's like, oh, this just one thing just does it. No, I swear it did.
I loved it when I did it online. Yeah. It was right after I moved up here, and I was getting ready to do my first oil change. I was like, oh, I'm going to do oil change tonight. And, you know, being the young pup I was, you know, Cooper's like, make sure you put Schaefer's in. I'm like, I might just go get some Rotella or something like that. Walmart.
Yeah.
You go $15 for a gallon. He goes, no, you should put Schaefer's in there. I'm like, don't worry. And he's like, put Schaefer's in it now or else you're fired. More or less.
Yeah.
He's not going to fire because of oil people, but like, he was like, I'm dead serious. Please just put Schaefer's
just
in
try
it. Huey injection needs good oil. I know you know that, but.
Yeah.
Schaefer's. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. So I drain it, put the Schaefer's in it. I think I put an AFE filter on it and started it up. I was like, oh my Lanta.
Yeah.
Like, this thing idles smoother. It starts better. It's quieter.
Like for real?
And I feel like I could see Cooper, like you can't see me. Like, well, if you're listening to it on iTunes, you can't see me right now, but the face or like the pursed lips shaking, like nodding his head up and down.
It's like, yes, yes. Yep.
You know what I'm talking about now, don't you? I'm like, oh. Converted.
Yeah, this is real. Yeah, it's a real thing. I even put that stuff in my lawnmower. I mean, like I put it in everything.
And I was a diehard Rotella guy or Mobil 1.
Yeah, I like Mobil 1.
Mobil 1, and that was when Jim, that was Penn right there.
Yeah,
but he was like, "Oh, you're in Mobil 1. It's not bad oil."
Yeah,
but here's why we're better.
Yeah,
and he showed me. I was like, "All right, cool." And my wife's Escape, run all Schaefer's, all the fluids in there. Anytime I take fluid out, put Schaefer's in on my Suburban, which has a ton of miles on it.
Schaefer's.
Put Schaefer's in it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Moral of the story, hit us up. Get yourself some Schaefer's. Try it out. What's the worst that can happen? You like it?
Yeah. And don't be worried. It's green. For the diesel oil, it's green. It's kind of funny. So, yeah. Schaefer's diesel oil, it's green.
Just
don't be worried about it.
Yeah. Try it. Just try it. Next on the list that we kind of got here is obviously, I mean, if you have a greaser, you should probably grease it every once in a while. Mm-hmm. I know like on the Rams, there's not a lot that you can grease on those trucks. Mm-hmm. Like I think driveline, I know front axle doesn't have them from factory. And I know that steering doesn't have them from factory. Mm-hmm. So you pretty much just have like, I think it's just the driveline that has greaser's. I'm pretty sure. Now I'm like kind of thinking they don't have greaser's either there. Yeah, but if you got them, grease them for gosh sakes.
Yeah. I remember when I got my 96, I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to get in there and grease stuff real quick. I was in there for like 30 minutes.
They have a lot.
The older trucks have so many extra things to grease.
Yeah. And there's better than like just your normal grease that's out there too, which we carry, and it's from Schaefer's too.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, it was meant to be a Schaefer's plug, but they just have really good products, and we like to push good products and the stuff we use. So there you go.
Boom.
The Schaefer's grease, it's kind of known for its like, what I don't know if you'd call it like a water dispersant, but it stays tacky when it's like submerged. I mean, it's great for guys with boat trailers. That you know, are backing a trailer into the water all the time. Perfect for wheel bearings for your trailer or anything that it, you know, sees water. Fantastic grease. I use it pretty much everything. I have a tube of it in my toolbox, and I
use it on guns.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's what Ash was talking about too. Yeah, I mean, it's the stuff's awesome.
Yeah, if it's good enough to handle a cylinder,
yeah,
I'm sure it can handle a slide.
Yeah, and you're not like hunting with your pistol, so it's not like you're worried about like smell or something. Because I know like hunters are like, oh, I don't want to use that because it stinks or whatever. But no, it's fantastic stuff. So if you've got greasers, for gosh sakes, grease them every once in a while, and don't like just like grease them to where you've got like a rope of grease flying out of the side of the joint. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just give it a couple pumps. Couple pumps.
Or if it's one of those things where you have like the boot on there.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel that it's firm, give it a half pump right in there. You feel it's a little bit firmer. There was a lot of old school guys like, nope, pump it till it starts coming out.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe on your like 1950 truck.
Yeah. Right.
Where the tolerances are like, quarter inch.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no. These tolerances are really tight in the newer cars, even the last like 20 years or so. You know,
yeah.
So you do not need to pump it till it starts coming out of somewhere. That means you've blown a seal.
Yeah. You've gone too far. And on the same thing, as far as like trailers, you know, there's like bearing buddies. Mm-hmm. Those things are super, super nice to have. They make it real easy. They just put it basically a greaser over a rubber cap that you can just, fill it up with grease. So yeah, grease in all the joints. That's key, especially in like high salt areas that are using that like mag chloride and the stuff on the roads from the winter time. That stuff is killer. It's a killer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why you don't buy a truck from the Midwest.
Yeah. Or when all those super cheap trucks come down from Canada,
they're
2 years old and have like 100,000 miles on them.
You
like,
replace all the quarters.
And you look under like, oh, this thing's toast.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's nothing left.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beyond there too, I mean, we're not just talking about lubrication. Let's talk about air. You know, got to get air in, get air out. Air filters.
Air filters. Yes. Yeah. I probably like... That's probably the one thing that I am like kind of crappy about. I don't know why I always forget an air filter, but like on the Suburban, it was like the last thing I did. I was like, I should probably clean that air filter. And I got like an extra pound of boost out of the system. So it's like, holy moly.
From like what, like 5 to 6?
Yes.
Ooh.
We're doing big things over here.
It's a big jump.
Speaking of that, turbo kit's for sale. If anybody's looking, it's my plug right now.
Can't even laugh about it anymore.
I've pushed her past, I think, her life. I mean, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Maybe over a cricket or something. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I think we might eat crickets later.
Yes. I'll talk about that later. Yeah. Later too.
This podcast has taken an interesting turn.
It is.
Diesel parts, oil, barley juice, and crickets.
And bugs.
So we got oil, we got air. Let's talk about your fuel. There's your other big component there.
Yes.
Fuel filters.
Yes.
And I know a lot of us listening to this podcast also have gas rigs too. Fuel filters are still important on your gas rigs. I know they're super important on diesel stuff, but gas rigs, that's the first things I do when I get a new vehicle is I don't care who says they did what.
Right.
Change the fuel filter.
Because it's usually pretty cheap, especially at gas rigs and like older gas rigs. I mean, you're usually putting in just like a inline filter that's like $8.
Yeah.
Like, why not buy like a pack of four of them and just have them on hand and just replace mm-hmm. them every, you know, 6 months or whatever. Yeah. Fuel filters, mileage, power. Did I mention mileage?
Yeah.
But no, it's key. I mean, it's startups, especially cold. I mean, even cold starts. I mean, they can. You know, if you've got a plug fuel filter, it's going to affect a cold start.
Well, then you put extra stress on your fuel pump.
Yeah,
that goes out. That means you're getting in the tank.
Yeah,
all because of an $8 fuel filter.
Yeah, and again, diesel fuel isn't there for just combustion, but it's there for lubrication and cooling as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're limiting the amount of fuel it's getting into the injection pump, you're just gonna start hurting that injection pump because it needs it for that lubrication. So
this is a message for you 6-7 Power Stroke guys.
Yeah,
we're talking about fuel, and I'm mentioning this because I've gone back and forth with a gentleman through email
mm-hmm.
About his 6-7 Power Stroke. If you have not done the disaster prevention kit,
yes,
on your 6-7 Power Stroke, I would consider that a hot ticket item. If no one's yep. told you about it, and I'm telling you about it for the first time, look it up, read about it.
Absolutely.
There's a reason why it's called a disaster prevention kit. When things are named like that, it's for a reason, like the killer yep. dowel pin kit.
This is no joke. I literally have a kind of a family friend of mine that had a 2012 Duramax. Okay. He mm-hmm. bought a tuner, he bought exhaust, he bought a bunch of stuff from us. He was going to have me put it on. Well, literally the weekend before the install, guess what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Injection pump failed. And it literally, if it wasn't under warranty, which thankfully it was,
mm-hmm.
I mean, of course they're probably going to fluff the bill a little bit for sure, there being warranty, but it was $10,000. I mean, that was pump, rail, lines, like literally everything. Everything.
If the name starts with fuel,
yeah,
it had to be replaced.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're not kidding when it's a disaster. I mean, it literally is a disaster.
And I would say it might even go more for you early 6-7 guys, like 11, 12, 13, maybe even some like 14 trucks are starting to like come out of warranty or they're becoming yeah. second, third hand or something like that. Invest in the disaster prevention kit. It's less than $500.
Yeah.
Pretty much anybody can install it, and it's – maybe we could do a whole episode on that thing, but it's worth it. Look at it. We have it on our website. Just do it.
Yeah. The next one that I want to bring up, this is the fluid that I think is the most neglected, that people never change.
Blinker.
Yes. Coolant.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Exactly.
Like I more people neglect like doing a coolant flush than any other fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just think it's fine. But if anybody's seen like coolant like deteriorate, it stinks
mm-hmm.
and it creates this like gummy, sludgy crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's just disgusting, and it can plug up not like cooling ports in your head, in your block. I mean, everywhere this stuff will like build. I don't even know what it is. I mean, but it's nasty. I mean, I've seen it. God, where did I see it the worst with? Where it actually. Oh man, like it was, I can't remember the vehicle, but if I could, it was one that had like a degas bottle, kind of like the mm-hmm. Fords did. And I remember seeing some of those that were just like literally like tinted brown.
Yeah.
And then you open it and it's just like, is that like melted chocolate in there? What is that? Mm-hmm. Like that's disgusting. Yeah. So coolant, do a coolant flush.
I think that probably goes along with brake fluid too. I think a lot of people neglect brake fluid.
Yes.
And especially doing a brake fluid flush.
Yeah.
It's like, if it's time to bleed your brakes, don't just bleed it. Maybe do the flush.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you probably aren't going to think about it. And then when you see the old fluid compared to the new fluid, you're like,
wait a second here.
Like, holy crap. I didn't know my brake fluid gets like beat on that hard. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's, that's key. Tire pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of guys run different tire pressure in the wintertime. And mm-hmm. usually if you notice, if you've got a truck that's got tire pressure monitoring system on, in the wintertime, you'll notice like, oh my gosh, my tire light came on. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
If you're using just like regular air, there's probably a little moisture in that air.
Yeah.
And wintertime comes around, it'll fluctuate that pressure. That's why a lot of guys, if you see vehicles with a little green cap, nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the answer to that. It'll kind of hold a constant pressure via, you know, regardless of the temperature.
Well, you also got to put the antifreeze in your tire so the air doesn't freeze inside there.
Yeah, I got to get that summer air.
Yeah.
Gotta pull out that winter air, put in that summer air.
This is a joke. It's a joke.
This isn't serious.
Okay. I just have to throw that in there.
No, but checking your pressure, especially if you don't have tire pressure monitoring, because you could wear out a set of tires really quick with the wrong tire
Absolutely.
Pressure. And not to mention that, mileage.
Yeah.
If you've got underinflated tires, it's going to affect mileage. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the number one thing that we get calls on all the time is mileage. Like, how do I get more mileage? Look at all these things. Like, all these things have an effect on mileage, mm-hmm. no matter how small they are. I mean, maybe you're lubing your steering joints won't have an effect on mileage, but oil changes, air filters, fuel filters, tire pressure, all that stuff, I mean, that we have at least on this list, that's all going to affect mileage.
Yeah. We even talk about transmission.
Yeah. Flush. Well, transmission fluid. Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty much everything that your dad or your grandpa was probably your grandpa. I mean, our dads were probably, I mean, they were the guys that probably did all their own service on that, yeah. But I'd say grandpas, or maybe if you have, I don't know how old your dads are or whatnot, but
yeah.
That was when they was like, owning a car was like, you had to basically really know how
yeah.
to fully kind of service it. I mean, or that's where you would take it to a fuel station and the guy would come out of the jumpsuit with a rag in his pocket.
Yeah.
And he'd check your oil, check all the fluid, top mm-hmm. it off, whatever you need, because they did need that constant care.
Exactly.
Now they don't need so much of that little kind of petty constant care, but there's a lot of stuff that you need to keep up on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the funny, like, all this stuff is fairly easy to do, even if you don't have a lot of knowledge yourself on a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And the money you can save by doing some of these things yourself instead of going to the shop and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people always say, like, oh, one of the downsides of a diesel is it's super expensive to maintain. Well, I mean, okay, yeah, it does hold a little bit more oil, so you're gonna pay a little bit more oil. But as far as like filter prices, that's usually about, I would say that's right in line with gas cars.
Yeah, right.
Fuel filters, I'd say that's pretty close. Some of the mm-hmm. newer stuff, same kind of design filter. yeah, some of the part, like the hard parts, like a transmission is probably more expensive, right, that kind of right. stuff. But maintenance stuff, I mean, you're just having to add a little bit more. I mean, that's really the only downside. But plus, if you kind of learn to do this stuff yourself, you're gonna save a ton of money on labor. And you just do it yourself, and then you get the satisfaction of you knowing it's done, and there it's under your interval, so you can mm-hmm. keep track and make sure that everything is done to your standards. And again, it could save you huge money in the long run, because a lot of people think that, like, oh, just because it's a diesel, it's going to be expensive to maintain. It's not the case.
Isn't. I mean, and same with that too, is if you think about how much, let's say you were to take your car in that maybe has like 5 to 6 quarts.
Yeah.
Probably not 7 quarts, 5 to 6 quarts
yeah.
of oil. And you do want to get a really nice, high quality oil. So you're getting Schaefer's oil with a filter plus a labor. You're probably going to be into it about $100, maybe $120 bucks.
Yeah. I mean, our Schaefer's, I think it's $33 a gallon.
Right.
And that's 4 quarts.
Yeah. So if you were to, say, buy the oil and then do everything on your own,
mm-hmm.
cost out of pocket, about the same.
Yeah.
However, you're getting much higher quality stuff on your diesel, which requires more product itself.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy about
Exactly. Everybody's happy.
Plus, your diesel truck's probably a little bit taller than your car was.
Mm-hmm.
Changing oil is, I mean,
way easier.
Yeah.
You can actually put like a bucket
underneath. I just put a bucket underneath it.
Yeah, seriously. Like, go to Home Depot or wherever.
Find a little, like a 3 gallon bucket or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
Yeah. I've even like a 5 gallon. Mm-hmm. I mean,
if your truck's that cool,
yeah,
you can fit a 5 gallon bucket underneath. I could do it on my excursion.
Yeah. Yeah.
The red truck, not so much.
Yeah. The next one that I want to talk about, which is one that I didn't even think of that you put on here, which is an awesome one, is battery terminals and ground connections.
Yeah.
That's huge. How many problems that are just like, I don't know, this is the most random problem ever. Mm-hmm. It's like, your ground wire, man.
Yeah. I talk about it a lot, but like with my old red truck, I that was the oldest vehicle that I had where mm-hmm. I was fully maintaining it on my own. I had an older pickup, but I was still kind of living at home, so my dad was helping me with that a lot.
Yeah.
But my red truck was the first one. I was like, I bought it. It's in my hands. It's a little bit older. And I just started looking at everything, and I really just wanted to get acquainted with the truck. And it's one of the things where I had never bought a power truck. I never bought a full-size truck or a one-ton or a three-quarter ton. So I literally sat underneath this thing and just started looking at stuff.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out and like what irked me or like, well, that's when I learned about the reverse shackle kit and why there's leaf springs and whatever.
Right.
But I started looking at all these connections, and I saw a cable hanging from the cab. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, that's a weird cable hanging there. And I was looking at it. I was like, oh, it's a ground connection.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So I cleaned the connection from the cab to that wire or mm-hmm. to the cable, and then from the cable to the frame, and I put a little paint on it so it didn't do anything. I was like, I wonder if there's any other of these hanging around.
Yeah.
And I go around and start finding all these things that are barely hanging on and they're corroded. So I start going through, and this is after I had the truck for maybe a month or two.
Yeah.
I go through, I start cleaning all of them, pull a bit of paint over it. If you guys are on the East Coast, like Pennsylvania folks, you guys probably do this every day.
Yeah, seriously.
And I'm talking like even in the engine bay, the ground strap from the like the engine to the hood, the block to the frame, everywhere I could find a ground strap, I cleaned it, replaced it if it needed to be there, and then painted over it. And all of a sudden, my truck started quicker. My windows rolled up and down faster. My lights were brighter. The stereo sounded better. And I'm sitting there going like, there's no way that all of that happened. And then, 100%. Clean proper battery care, clean the terminals up, make sure that a lot of times you'll get moisture and you'll see crud kind of start creeping between the posts.
Yeah.
That's grounding out.
Yeah.
Make sure there's no crud between the posts. That's, get in there with it. Just takes a rag. It takes 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Open it. Oh, that's not supposed to be there. That's not supposed to be there. Wipe, wipe, wipe. Clean, clean, clean. Brush, brush, brush. The one thing I'm not a fan of is the battery terminal spray sealant stuff.
I was just going
to
say.
I hate that with a passion.
Yeah.
And I used to never recommend it to anybody whenever they came into the shop. Like, oh, I want the battery sealant on there. I was like, nah.
It's like purple.
It just gets everything all gunky. I'm like, I mean, honestly, I'd rather sell you a $3 wire brush and just you get under there every, I don't know, year.
Yeah, because that's what's going to wear off.
Yeah. And just it makes everything all gunky and all this other crap, and it looks terrible.
Yeah.
It's like, or, obviously I'm doing the maintenance on your car. If you just keep bringing it back here, I'm not that kind of guy who's like, oh, battery service, $12.
Yeah, right.
45 minutes for battery service. Like if I pop the hood, I'm like, oh, okay, clean that off real quick. You're a good person.
Yeah. Yeah, but there is a ton of issues that you can, just like you mentioned, how all those things started working better. That's true. That is a fact. Like like I said, that's probably short of the coolant flush, and in my eyes, that is like probably the next. That's like the closest thing that guys don't think about. So, yeah.
And not even just having a good battery.
Yeah, that too. That helps.
We don't even sell them, but Odyssey batteries. I say Odyssey or Optima. The Optimus have, they're now, I think they're made overseas now. I could be wrong. I might have just shot myself in the foot. I'm not sure.
No.
But I've run Optimas. I ran Optimas for a long time. My wife's car, Stuart Cloring, has an Optima in there. I've also run Odyssey batteries in all my diesels. The Odyssey Extreme Duty. My God.
Yeah.
Those things are burly.
Yeah. I will say the batteries in my Suburban are super cheap, but I've put them through absolute hell. Like, dead, not dead. Fully charged, halfway charged, dead. like seriously, they've been through a life cycle.
Yeah. Pun intended.
Yeah. Cycle. so yeah. Maintenance.
That's maintenance. I don't even want to call it a maintenance 101 because we could go on for hours on maintenance.
We really could.
And the funny thing with maintenance, this is going to be a bit of a tangent here, but the funny thing with maintenance is you probably see how often me and Tyler on this subject, on what's known as somewhat simple subject, tangents, stories, information.
Yeah.
That maintenance is key. Just like maintenance in all relationships in life. I don't want to say maintenance with your kids, but your kid's got a poopy diaper, change it.
Yeah.
Truck needs oil change the oil.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't let your truck get diaper rash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's called sludge. Bad thing. Yeah. That's called sludge, and parts start breaking at that point.
Yeah.
So I could tell you kind of, I went to, we're at this point now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's time.
So me and the wife last weekend, we went to Leavenworth, Washington, which is a cool little town. It's like a old German town. Like it's like all the buildings are all like, they look like you look like you just stepped into Germany. I mean, basically. Right. And somehow stumbled into this like candy store that has, like anything that you like loved when you were a kid, like they have it, like everything. Like those little boxes of candy cigarettes, had them.
Hell yeah.
Like everything, right? And so I stumbled upon this little section in the store where they had like bugs and stuff. So I bought some crickets for the boys at work. So we're gonna try some of these out.
Yeah, I want the vinegar ones.
I think I want the vinegar too. Cameron, which one do you want? You want salt and vinegar?
We're making our camera guy and our studio guy do this too.
I've never had a cricket, and there might be people out there be like, oh, crickets, it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's a freaking cricket, man.
Yeah. We barbecue centipedes, blah, blah, blah.
These are, I don't know if they're, what are they, roasted? I don't know. I hope. My hope is that it doesn't do like a squish when I bite in.
I have to imagine these things are like fried, right? So they're basically frying them and they're putting salt and vinegar on it. I have to imagine if there's a squish.
It smells like a Lay's potato chip.
If there's a squish.
You pick mine, I'll pick yours.
It doesn't matter. I mean, just pour it out.
Okay. You got the small one?
I got a small one.
Cameron, get over here.
I got a little tiny guy.
Okay, that one's mine.
Wave to the camera, Cameron. No, if you've never seen our camera guy, he's the coolest granola guy you've ever met in your life.
Since Cameron's ate one before, I'm going to give him a big one. All right, boys.
Yeah, we talked about it. Cameron's like, oh, dude, I've eaten.
Oh, look at him. Wow, you're supposed to eat it with us.
I hate you, man.
By the tail.
Yeah.
How is it? Does it taste like a Lay's? Yeah.
Cheers, my dude.
Cheers, yeah. Crickets. Yeah. Cheers or crickets. Oh, I just lost my tail on my cricket.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Down the hatch.
Down the hatch. Kind of tastes like a sunflower seed.
It's like a sunflower seed and chicken skin mixed together. Like a sunflower seed shell, but if it doesn't make your poop hurt later.
Yeah, not bad.
That really is like a sunflower seed shell.
Yeah. You want another?
I'm good.
All right. And on that note,
in my grand tour, on that bombshell, back to you in the studio.
Yeah.
But no, we're just ending up. Thank you for listening and tuning in. Make sure to check us out next time on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play. I've got crickets in my mouth and I want to drink some more barley juice here. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
See you.